Bite the second class we're having this semester, the month of Elul, Tavshin Samach Vav, Sunday night, September 10th. We're going to begin, as we had agreed, in the book Abayit HaYehudi. Abayit HaYehudi, yeah, by Rav Eliyahu Kitov. And we're holding chapter 6, Shalom Bayit. Peace in the home. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta. The Mishnah says, in the very end of Shas, the last Mishnah we have in Shas and Mishnayot, the Mishnayot until then discuss different laws of purity. And then the Mishnah says, Lo matza ha-kadosh baruch hu kli machzik bracha li-Israel ela shalom. God found no better vessel to contain the blessings that he wants to give the Jewish people than peace. That is the vessel that all the blessings come in. Shneimar, as the verse says, Hashem oz lamo iten. Hashem gives strength to his people. Hashem yevarech et amo. God will bless his people. Bashalom. And the Mishnah seems to understand that it means in the vessel called shalom. Not that he will bless them with shalom, but rather he will bless them and he will encase that blessing in the vessel called shalom, peace. Harbe simanei heker yesh labayit haYisraeli. There are many signs with which you can recognize the Jewish home. Shebahim nikeret ma'alato al gabei shar habatim. That these signs, with them one can recognize that the Jewish home is superior to other homes. Mitzuyanu habayit haYehudi b'mitzvotav. The Jewish home is exceptional with the mitzvos, ume'utal b'masim tovim, b'masav tovim, and it is crowned with the good actions that are to be found in a Jewish home. Merubim em ma'asim tovim shenasim bebayit ze. There are many good actions that are done in this home, kind actions that are done in this home. Ve'yishal limnotam, and one could not enumerate them. Afilu bata lachrozotam machozot machozot. Even if you wanted to string them with strings, klalim klalim, to say different types of good deeds that are done within the home, v'sugim sugim, and to classify different types of good deeds that are found in the Jewish home, aval pi ken timtza otam merubim meod. Nonetheless, you'll find that there are many. You can't even classify them. Rav Kitov says there are so many good actions that have to be found in a Jewish home. Yesh lecha mitzvot u'masim tovim shezmanam bechol yom. You have mitzvot and good actions that are found every day. V'yesh lecha, and there are good actions shezmanam rak leprakim, that happen every so often. Sheben ish leishto, there are good actions, are kind actions that are between a man and his spouse. Beinam lezulatam, between them and other people. Uveinam lamakom, between them and their creator. Uveinam leven zaram, and between them and their offspring. Shebetoch tchumei habayit v'sheyotzim misham lachutz, good actions that happen within the confines of the home, and good actions that affect outwardly to the home. Amudav shel sefer echad lo yachilu et kulam. The pages in one book could not encompass all the good actions that should be found in a Jewish home. Lachen yiyu nizkarim kan, therefore we will mention here rak miktzat me'anagot habayit, only a few of the customs that go on in a house, v'amasim hatovim, and the good actions. Halalu shem yisod v'shoresh, we're going to mention those that are a foundation and a root, l'shal kol ha'masim ha'tovim, to all the other good actions that are to occur in the Jewish home. Al yedei ha'shoreshim ha'ileh, through these roots, yamod kol echad me'atzmo al rov ikareihem ve'anfeihem. Every person should himself be able to understand what are most of the principles and branches that come out from these roots, shem lo kol ha'chaim hem tosim, that they encompass all of life. And the concept of peace and the concepts that it includes are worthy that they should be introductory to all other chapters. Rav Kitov said that the good actions, some of them occur every day and some of them happen every so often. Some are between man and his wife, and some are between them and other people, and some are between them and their creator, and between them and their offsprings. Some are inside the confines of the home, and some go out of the home. There's a certain balance that every person has to attain, and no two homes are alike. But there is a balance that one has to know between what he does for his wife and children and what he does for other people. For example, a person can say, our home is going to be a home filled with chesed. I want a home, someone told me last week, that is open and people always feel comfortable coming, and the doors are always open and we have a lot of guests. That's nice. We read about Avraham Avinu who had a tent with four openings and he had guests all the time. That's very good. We have to do chesed, that's true. But we have to also know that the basis for everything we do is the home. And the greatest investment we could do for ourselves and for the Jewish people is to have a good home. That's first and foremost. Rav Tzvi Yehuda always said that the cup does not overflow till it itself is full. You have to fill the cup and then it goes over. And he said that's true about teaching Torah. You have to be full and then it'll overflow of its own. You'll be giving to other people. Don't try teaching when you yourself aren't full. Now, this is a balance that's ongoing throughout life. There are periods when one has to be home every night, and there are times when one does not have to be home every night. And sometimes times change. Sometimes he does, and sometimes he doesn't. And a person has to gauge and see what he needs, what his wife needs, what his children needs. Some people have a policy. I know mechanchim that all week long, day and night, they're with their students. Shabbos, they don't bring any guests home. They say, that's the time I have to be with the kids, I have to be with the wife. Some people say, every Shabbos, one meal I have with my wife and kids. And some people say, one Shabbos, yeah, one Shabbos, no. Every couple has to figure out what the balance is. But couples have to be attuned to what's going on. They have to be attuned to what they themselves need, what their children need. And they have to know that it's not called being selfish. In order to give other people, you have to have a good home. And the best investment you could make for other people is investing in your home. When a person has a good home, then he is a more calm person, more serene person, a better person. I always tell people when they're first married, the first year, tell them, be prepared to be more irritable. Because the first few years are difficult. And you say, well, I left the house. I'm at work today. So I have this theory that we all have certain things that bother us and make us happy. You could be sitting here and feeling the heat, the sweat trickling down your back, the bug that's buzzing near your ear, knowing that you haven't yet paid your bills, knowing that you don't know how you're going to pay your bills tomorrow, you don't know you have to find a new place to rent. There are a lot of things that can take a person's mind and focus and make him upset. And you could say each one is little, but they all add up. If you're sitting here and you feel like, oh, the guy opposite me has bad breath, and I feel like I'd love to take a shower, and boy, my athlete's foot is driving me crazy, and my mother just yelled at me on the phone, and I don't have rent to pay, so it adds up. And then you walk around, you have a hard time not being an irritable person. And you don't get enough sleep. Now, these things add up. That's why, for example, when people have difficult times in life, I tell them, make sure to get enough sleep. Make sure to eat well. When we don't eat well, so it gnaws at us. But we could stand it if everything else is good. But you put the whole conglomerate together, and then that can make even the nicest person into an irritable person. That's why I tell people when they're first married, you should know, indulge a little bit in other things that you might not otherwise. Take that extra long shower. Do other things to pacify the nerves that you will probably have as a result of being married, being in the first few years of marriage. Because the first few years, things are irritable. They irritate. And it's true. It's just a little thing. But it's a little thing and another little thing. It's like you're walking all day long with a bug buzzing next to your ear. At some point, you go whack. how long could you stand it? So you don't want to get upset at home. You want to be calm. You want to be a good husband. So you should know that in order to do that, part of the investment in the home is to know that you have to have patience for the home. And sometimes it means that if other things draw your patience, so don't be involved in those things at this time. Yeah, sorry.
Oh, yeah. I was always thinking that the first years of a marriage were the best.
The first years of marriage can be the best. They can also be the most difficult. And they can be both.
Okay.
They could be either or both. They could also be the best because the couple is alone. There's no one else there. But be prepared for them to be the worst. Marriage has a tendency to get sweeter on many, many fronts as it goes along. Because the more you know the person, the more you appreciate the person, the more the connection becomes true. And in the beginning, all the little things are really, 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 really difficult to swallow. And with time, either you get used to putting your socks in the hamper or she gets used to the fact that you put them next to the bed. Those things, eventually, they balance out. And after a few years of marriage, you don't notice them anymore, or you notice them and you could smile, okay. The beginning, it's hard to swallow. Why can't he get used to taking out the garbage when he gets home at night or when he goes out in the morning? Why can't she let me come home and have some peace and quiet? I just walked through the door. Why is she telling me everything that happened during the day? I need quiet. I just walked in the house. There are 100 things which can nag at a person, and with time, he hopefully gets used to them. So Rav Kitov mentioned the peace between man and his wife, man and the external world, the couple and the external world, and we said that there's a balance there. That although we have obligations, our home is supposed to be a giving home, we have to know how to balance that. That's one thing we mentioned. And then we said between them and their children. That's also a certain peace that should be there and we should strive for. And people have to know that they have to work on having peace, and children also take strength. And couples, I admire couples that take time and go on dates. When you have kids, so you have less and less time. And a couple should know that they have to invest in their marriage after there are kids as well. And just like you could find a babysitter to go out when you have to go for, God forbid, a Shiva call or a Levaya, when there are calamities, then everyone manages to find babysitters. You also have to find babysitters. Couples should take time to go out and be alone. Just to talk to one another, go for a walk. Couples have to invest in that as well, to separate from the children. Sometimes marriages go through a phase where the focus is the kids, which is positive. We have to focus on the kids, but we also have to remember to focus on our own relationship. Couples who don't do that sometimes find themselves with very difficult marriages when the kids grow up and leave the home. So people should know that it's true, we have to focus on the kids, we have to invest in the kids, we have to talk about the kids. We also have to take time for ourselves, to invest in one another. Kochoshana Shalom. The power, the strength of peace. The Medrash says, "Gadol haShalom shekol haBrachot klulot bo." How great is peace that all blessing is included in peace. Another Medrash says, "En haBrachot meilot klum elam ken shalom imahem." All the blessings are worthless if you don't have peace together with them. L'ma davar domeh? What is this similar to? L'melech, the king, shaya libo tov alav adav. His heart felt good with his servants. V'chafetz levodkam, he wanted to check them. Im re'uyim lebirchato im lo. Are his servants worthy of getting his blessing or not? Amar lahem, he said to his servants, Yevakesh echad mikem chafetz libo ve'etne'u lo. Let each of you tell me what do you want, I'll give it to you. V'lachaverav eten kiflaim. Tell me what you want, I'll give you what you want, and I'll give him double. So the king told the servants, you can tell me what you want, I'll give you what you want, and I'll give your friend double what I give you. Bizman sheshalom va'ava v'neim, when there's peace and love between the servants, kol echad nidchak lavo arishon v'mishalto, each one rushes to be the first to ask what he wants, kidei sheizkehu bishalo, so that he should get what he wants, v'yem zakeh lechaverav b'kifnaim, so that his friend will get double. He's happy, I'll get what I need, and he'll get double. And then each person could feel like, oh, I gave, because of me, he got double. ראה המלך שכך גדול השלום ביניהם. When the king saw that they were all rushing to be the first to say what they wanted so that their friend will get double, אמר מעתה לא ישנה אוהב בין אוהבים. Now that you showed me this, the king said, I won't make any differences, אלא כולם תזכו בברכה כפולה, I'll give you each double. הרי שהשלום כלי מחזיק ברכה. Peace is something that maintains blessing. Now, we'll just finish what he says and then we'll analyze it. אבל בזמן שכינה ושנאה ביניהם, but when there is jealousy and hatred between them, כל אחד נדחק לצדדים, each one pulls back. ואינו מבקש ראשון, no one wants to be the first to ask. השונא ליבו רע בטובת חברו. When a person hates, so then he feels bad when something goes well for someone else. כל שכן, certainly אם טובתם מרובה משלו, if their good is better than his good, that's something that he can't swallow. המקנא, when a person is jealous, אינו צרה בשל חברו. His eye is stingy with regard to his friend, שיזכו לחלק גדול משלו, how could he get more than me? ולבסוף פתח השונא ואמר למלך, and in the end, the one that hates spoke up, he said to the king, שאלתי ובקשתי, what I want, my master the king, ינקרו לי אחת מעיניי, take out one of my eyes, ולחברי שתי עיניים, take out for my friend two eyes. ראה המלך שכך גדולה השנאה ביניהם, the king saw there was so much hatred between them, אמר, he said, מעתה נקר את עיני כולכם, I'm taking out all of your eyes. שלא תוכלו להרע זה עם זה, you won't be able to harm one another. אין אתם ראויים לטוב. You're not fitting to have good. הרי שהשנאה כלי מחזיק כללה. Behold, hatred is a vessel that contains curse. There are many levels of truth to this allegory. Think about it. Think about some time that you got something that you really, really liked and you thought was really, really good. And then you saw someone else that had something better. What did it do to you? Think about the time that someone got something and you told them how he could have gotten better. What did that do to him and to you? Our sages taught us that when a person gets married, so Beisel and Beishamai say, what do you sing when you dance before the Kala? So Beisel say, you sing Kala Na'a V'chasuda. What a fitting, what a gorgeous, beautiful, wonderful Kala you got. She's got such fine traits. So Beishamai say, what do you mean? Let's say he married a woman who's blind. Let's say he married a woman who's limping. She might have a lot of fine traits. Let's say he married an ugly woman. She's missing all her teeth and she's got boils all over. What are you going to say? You got such a beautiful girl. You can't say that. Say, praise her for what she has. She has this positive traits, praise this. She has that, praise that. What are you going to say? And they still say, no. When a person buys something, you have to tell him, boy, you got a good deal. Don't go telling him what kind of deal could you have gotten. Your job is to tell him you got a really good deal. People mess up on this all the time. You buy something and right away they tell you, you know there was a sale there. You know there's, I just heard there's something better. The halacha says no. We sing, we all sing in front of the kala, kala na'a v'chasuda. What a beautiful, what a befitting, wonderful kala you got. These traits not only permeate our being, but they will permeate our home. Imagine you come home after a very hard day of work and the baby's wailing. They say, honey, could you put the plug in it? Where's the pacifier? And she says, you know, I've been with this wailing baby all day. Maybe hold her for a few minutes? And you say, well, where's supper? She says, what do you mean, where's supper? Don't you see she hasn't been come for a second? How can I have supper ready? Hold her, I'll make supper. So you hold the baby. And by the time supper's ready, it's 10:30 at night. You're all wiped out, and so is your wife. There's a baby wailing. She won't calm down. So you walk her, and you talk to her, and you sing to her. Nothing. She's not taking anything. She's teething. She's wailing. 10:30, 11:30, 12:30, 1:30, 2:30. You're walking there half awake, half asleep. You each have work to do for the next day. You're taking shifts. And suddenly, there's a dirty diaper. So you turn to your wife and say, "Honey, I think the diaper's dirty." And she says, "I think the diapers are down there." You say, "Okay." You go and do the diapers. You're a good husband, right?
Only hypothetical story.
Only hypothetical, right. Finally, 3 o'clock, the baby's sleeping. Both walk over to bed. And you fall there into a deep slumber. As you're falling asleep, there's a whale. Who gets up? Fine. Let's say one of you got up. Let's say you take shifts throughout the night. Which you could do. I used to do that with my wife. When the babies are born, I get to bed early. I get to bed like 6, 7 o'clock. Have Maariv, go to sleep. My wife takes the early shift. I get up at like midnight, 1 o'clock. My wife gets the next shift till 7 o'clock in the morning. We divide it that way. So I find it easier to focus learning like early in the morning. So I could hold the baby and learn something while. So you could do that. Fine. Next day, you're both walking around half zombies. And you come home and see your wife napping. What do you think? So a good person thinks, "Oh, great. She must be wiped out. I'm happy she's sleeping." But many people think, "I'd love to be there." Shabbos afternoon, very often only one of the spouses can sleep. Who's going to sleep? These things happen all the time. They don't happen once. They happen throughout a marriage. And when our sages said that Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai asked his disciples, "Which trait? Go see what's a good trait that you should seek." So one said, "A good eye." Most people don't have a good eye. Most people, when they see something's good for someone else, they have a hard time with it. Rav Moshe Chaim Letzato, Ramchal, writes that there isn't a person that attends a friend's wedding who isn't bitten by the wedding, doesn't have a pang of has to hold back a tear. So that's what Ramchal says. I guess it's true. A good eye isn't something that's easy to come by. And when we finally conclude that the best advice is to find not specifically a good eye, not specifically to be a good friend, not specifically all the other things that are mentioned in the Mishnah, but rather to have a good heart, that's because a good heart encompasses everything else. Part of having a good heart is also to have a good eye. It's not natural to have a good eye. Our natural tendency is to have a bad eye. Our natural tendency is to be focused on me. When a child is born, all he knows is me. And he has to know me. He's hungry, he wails. He's thirsty, he cries. He's uncomfortable, he cries. That's what he knows to do, and that's his job. As a person develops, he's supposed to be able to see beyond himself. But that's not easy. A person has to work on it. And we saw in the Rambam that one of the most important ways that we work on our traits is by acting as though we've acquired that trait. Meaning, let's say a person sees that he is jealous. He does, when he sees someone else resting and he would rather rest, he does feel bad. So he has to work on himself to act as though he's happy. Great, I'm happy you got some sleep. Great, I'm happy you got this new object. Work on it, and slowly a person acquires the trait. A person should behave as though he has the trait, and that will acquire the trait in. When I started dating, so I called Rav Pesin, may he have a refuah shleima. It's one of the rabbis I learned by in the United States. I said, "I have a funny question. What am I looking for? What should I look for? And I'm going to start dating. I don't know what a girl is. I have no sisters. What am I looking for?" So he said, "You're looking for a good heart. Because that encompasses everything. Look for a lev tov. Find a good heart, you have everything." And this is true because it encompasses a good friend, it encompasses a good eye, it encompasses all the good traits. But it's very difficult. It's not easy. Have a good heart. I would rather. Will you be here Thursday night? Or you don't know yet? So next Sunday, Bezrat Hashem, we'll start the class with what the Rishon said. What? How do you define a good heart? What is a lev tov? You're right. We have to spend a little bit more time on that. So remind me. I gotta go. We have a wedding. And so 10 o'clock, we have to stop. But God willing, next week, start with that.